Welcome back to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, and with me today is my special guest, Ava Abramowitz. Welcome, Ava.
Welcome. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you on the show. Ava is a teacher of negotiations at George Washington University Law School, and she really is an expert negotiator. She also serves as a mediator in federal court. And initially, she was the AIA, American Institute of Architects, Deputy General Counsel and Vice President at Schinerer & Company, which is a large architectural company. Is that right?
No, it's a professional liability insurance company.
Ah, okay. And Ava is also the author of a recently published book entitled Architects, Essentials of Negotiation. But what we're going to find out today is that book is just not meant only for architects, is it?
No, it's not.
I read a good third of the book already over the weekend, maybe half of the book. And I'm an attorney, and I think every attorney ought to get their hands on this book because it really helped me understand some of the essentials of negotiating and contracts.
Good. Well, I read a massive number of negotiation books, and most of them are high in theory and low in utility.
How did you get into negotiating?
Well, my niece called up one night, and she was crying. She was 7 years old, and she was absolutely hysterical.
Okay.
Her mother refused to let her have a sleepover. And I said to her, stop crying. This is silly. I have no power to reverse your mother. All your tears are wasted on me. And you're also crying prematurely. You have no idea why mommy said no.
Okay.
So go back. Don't yell. Don't scream. Don't argue. Just go in, shoulders down, head back, and say, Mom, about that sleepover, why did you say no? And then listen. You listen as hard as you possibly can listen and find out what her concerns are. And then, once you understand what's important to her, you call me up and we'll work out a negotiation strategy.
Okay, then what happened?
She called back 15 minutes later. She said, it's in 2 weeks, it's only for girls, and it's on a Saturday, not on a Friday night.
So the first lesson in negotiating, how did you know what to advise her or what to tell her?
It wasn't intuitive. I have been working for a very, very long time with people who do not know how to negotiate. When I was an assistant United States attorney, we were always negotiating. When I became deputy general counsel of the AIA, I was always helping architects negotiate. And in fact, when I told the story about B to an architect friend of mine, he said, no one ever taught me to negotiate.
Right.
And I thought, how do you get through the day? You have to negotiate everything.
Everything is a negotiation, right?
Even at a stop, you have to look at the other party and see which one of you is going to go first. Everything is a negotiation. At that point, I said, this is it. I'm writing a book for architects.
You know, I read in this book, and this was something that really hit home. You talked about soft negotiators.
Yes.
And hard negotiators.
Yes.
And then there's something called principled negotiation.
Yes.
What is a soft negotiator?
A soft negotiator is someone who thinks the other party is a friend.
Okay.
And their goal, their sole goal, is to get an agreement.
So they want to please the other person at all costs?
At all costs. At all costs.
Perhaps giving up
everything.
Very important points.
Yes.
Okay.
So if the other person asks for something that's egregious, they sit there and go, he's my friend. He wouldn't ask for it unless it was important.
Right.
How can I figure a way to meet his needs?
Okay.
And the net effect of it is they negotiate themselves usually into a very, very bad bargain.
Into a corner, if a bad bargain.
Yeah.
Now, what about a hard negotiator? I know a lot of them.
A hard negotiator is just as senseless. What he wants to do, or she, is to win.
Okay.
Again, win at all costs. And there's no item not worth winning. So for example,
everything has to be negotiated to win.
Do you want to go out for coffee? No, I want to go out for tea. Would you like to sit here? No, I want to sit there. Everything becomes negotiable and always to his win, your loss.
So there's no compromise.
Not only is there no compromise, there's no progress. You end up with an agreement that cannot be implemented.
Can you get an agreement with somebody like that?
If you give up everything, sure.
So if you're a soft negotiator and the other person's a hard negotiator, you may reach an agreement, but you're not going to be better off for it.
Well, you reach an agreement in the short term, and in the long term, everybody suffers.
Because you may end up in court.
You probably will end up in court.
Wow.
You probably will end up in
court. Now, there's something that you defined as sort of not soft negotiating or hard negotiating. It's principled negotiating.
The Harvard Negotiation Project started raising the level of negotiation theory to a replicable art. And they basically said that if you argue from positions,
mm-hmm.
not with the intent of understanding, but with the intent of winning or the intent of pleasing, you end up with a bad bargain that cannot be implemented successfully by either.
Okay.
You have to understand my definition of a great negotiator is someone who can routinely come to negotiated agreements, that the negotiated agreements are routinely successfully implemented for both parties, and the other wants to negotiate with them again. So it's long-term thinking. I want to succeed, and for me to succeed, you have to succeed also. We have to build common ground together, common ground that's nice enough, we both want to live there, and we can actively, collectively implement the bargain.
Now, you've spent a good portion of your career negotiating with and on behalf of or against owners and architects and designers and construction projects.
Yes.
How would you apply this very detailed philosophy and orientation towards construction projects to something as simple as a regular contract negotiation involving licensing of software technology or some other business contract negotiation?
Okay. First, let's take construction so that people can understand, and then we can flip it over to intellectual property. The people who like my book the best are owners. Because once they've read it, there's no surprise on the construction site. Owners of the project.
Okay.
Right. In construction, in the olden days, the way people were taught is there was a fight between the architect and the contractor, and the owner got the honor of paying for it. Doesn't work that way. Huh. Doesn't work that way. Instead, what the architect should say to the contractor is, I have an expertise in design, and I have some understanding of construction. You have an expertise in construction and some understanding of design. Let's talk to the owner, find out what the owner's interests and needs are, and figure out collectively how we can meet them.
Okay.
It's the same thing in intellectual property or any contract. You have your interests. The other has his interests. In order for you to meet yours, they have to understand them. In order for them to have their interests meet, ooh, hello, that you have to understand them. And collectively, sharing that understanding will allow you to be creative and figure out a path where both of you will succeed.
So is this the basis of principled negotiating?
Yes.
And so what you're saying is it's really collaborative.
It is very collaborative.
And in a construction project, it's very much, or it usually is a three-party negotiation, right? You have the architect, you've got the contractor, and you've got the owner of the project.
Yes.
And so you have the designer or the person who's got that particular side of it. You've got the person who's building the project and then the person who actually owns it and has to deal with the other two. In many contract negotiations or in many negotiations, it's just one-on-one, right? So how do we build a collaborative negotiation where you're on one side of the table and I'm on the other side of the table?
Let's take it to the biggest contract that most people are familiar with.
Okay.
Marriage.
Oh, that's negotiable?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in fact, the longer you're married, the more negotiations you're going to have because you're changing over time and your husband or wife is changing over time. So you're constantly negotiating because every day you're a different person simply because you lived one more day.
That's right. And you feel differently each day too.
And you feel differently each day.
Okay.
And unless you can understand where your spouse is coming from, and unless you make it clear to your spouse where you're coming from, there's no way that you can collectively figure out what step to take next. So many people keep their feelings secret, thinking, if I tell the other, they'll not know what to do. Instead of saying, listen, I'm feeling this way and I don't know what to do. Do you have any insights into me or the situation where you can help me?
So are you saying that much of what a negotiator does is also a little bit of psychology?
Yes.
So it's really...
If psychology is truly understanding with the intent, not of using the information against the other,
somebody,
but using the information to understand and help the other.
So really negotiation then is the art and science of listening to the other side and finding out what their needs are.
It's also the art and science of conveying assertively your needs in such a way that the other can hear.
Give me an example of the language that a negotiator shouldn't use in negotiating with the other side.
Take it back to marriage.
Yep.
You're very angry at the other, and so you say, I hate you.
Woo! That's about as clear
cut
of a...
But what does it send? It sends no message whatsoever other than the fact that you're angry.
It sends an emotional state.
Right. It's not information. It's just pure emotion. And you can respond in two ways. You can respond by saying, I hit you back. Or you can cry. Or you can say to the other person, boy, are you angry? I haven't seen you this angry in as many years as we've ever been married. Help me understand what's going on in your soul that you should say that to me. Help me understand where you're coming from.
In a business negotiation, it's really the same thing, isn't it?
It's exactly the same thing without
crying and emotional hatred and things like that. Although I've seen some business negotiations devolve to that.
I'm not going there.
Yeah. But we don't but is it lawyers that are the only people that are capable of managing and handling negotiations? It seems, in fact, that many lawyers are very poor negotiators, particularly those that are used to fighting in a courtroom.
Yeah, many lawyers are very, very bad negotiators because they base it on positions. They believe that negotiation is adversarial and that if they're going to do well, they have to act like an adversary and the other has to be an enemy, and they force themselves into a hard negotiation posture.
We're talking with Ava Abramowitz, and she's describing the art and science of negotiation, but she's written a book called Architect's Essentials of Negotiation. It's in its second edition, and it's published by the American Institute of Architects. Ava, why is this book so useful for everyone? How can everyone read this book and get a lot of benefit out of it?
Two reasons. One, five of the chapters are based solely on negotiation. How do you prepare for it? How do you manage yourself during it? How do you communicate? How do you collaborate? And if things go badly, how do you manage a dispute? Something I call a noisy negotiation. The other reason they might be interested is if they're forming a strategic alliance with anybody.
A partnership.
A partnership with anybody. That there are certain things you need to do in order to make sure your partnership will succeed. In the other chapters, I grant you it's using a project as the example, but make it any kind of project. In order to succeed, you have to put an infrastructure underneath it so it has a chance to win, to jump.
I read several chapters of this book, and I'm not a construction law expert, nor am I an expert in architecture or anything like that, but I really did get a lot out of it. For example, we have to approach negotiation as if we were problem solvers, correct?
Absolutely.
And the goal is to get an outcome that is reached efficiently and amicably.
Yes.
But without and taking the emotions out of it, right?
You know, emotions,
trying to.
Emotions are real. When they happen, one just honors them and says to the person, you seem embarrassed, you seem angry, you seem this, you seem that. Am I reading you correctly?
So acknowledge the emotions.
You acknowledge the emotions. You don't label them as much as try to understand them.
Okay. What do you need? What does everyone need to be able to negotiate?
The power to listen. The power to suspend judgment until somebody completes his sentence. And then to say, if you understand it, this is what I understand. Did I get it? And if you didn't understand it, to say to the person, talk more. I still don't get you. And I want to. I truly want to understand you. And then to use the information to build common ground, not as a sword.
But it's also understanding that there may be conflict, right?
You can't negotiate unless there's conflict. If you were in 100% agreement, you'd have nothing to
negotiate. To negotiate, right.
Yeah. I mean, let's go out for dinner. Okay, let's go out for dinner.
And a lot of people are averse to conflict, aren't they?
A lot of people are scared of conflict because they spell it with a capital C. But conflict is simply a discrepancy in expectations. One person wants A, you don't know it. One person wants B, they don't know it. And all it is a question of sharing expectations, needs, and interests so that you can figure out, is there a creative, elegant option that will satisfy both? And if not, is one more important to you than to me?
Well, we only have less than a minute left to wrap up this interview. It's gone by faster than any I can recall. Ava, if people want to get in touch with you to find out more about the book and about negotiating, how do they do that?
The best way is email, AVAESQ That's short for Ava Esquire,
mm-hmm.
AVAESQ at AOL.com.
And I highly recommend to the listening audience, not just architects, not just owners of construction projects, The Architect's Essentials of Negotiation. It's an excellent book on negotiation. And thank you so much for being a special guest on Blueprint for Wealth.
It has been a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
I'm Wayne Zell, and join me next week for another special topic and special guest on Blueprint for Wealth. Have a great week. And by the way, check my blog, blueprintforwealth.org.